Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Jesus came into the world to make people a new creation. He came into the world to bring us into a personal relationship with God, not to start a new religion that has its rules or religious rituals, external conformity to a moral standard. Jesus came to bring us a whole new life.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Galatians. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, in a message titled, Sowing and Reaping. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So here we are. We have arrived at our final study in the letter to the Galatians, and I trust that God has used this in our lives to strengthen us in our faith and to just establish us more so in His grace, because that's really the theme of the letter. Paul, of course, is defending his gospel, the gospel of grace, but it's not just the theme of the letter. Grace is really the theme of the New Testament. That's, you know, if you could just put one big theme over the New Testament, it's the grace of God through Christ. And so that is what Paul has contended for here in Galatians. And what we want to do today as we come to this final study together is just kind of walk through the verses like we did previously and then come back and really focus in on verse 15. So that'll be our primary focus today, verse 15. But let me just, you know, walk us real quickly through the verses. We looked at this previously. Paul wrote this letter himself, which was really an expression of his deep affection for them, because Paul apparently had an eye condition that would have limited him from being able to do that. But he did it here, and he mentions it. And then he went on to speak about the false teachers. The whole motive was self-centered. They wanted people to follow after them, and they wanted to be able to glory in their own superior spirituality or morality. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory or boast in anything but the cross. And having said that, he then, in verse 15, he says something very similar to what he's previously said, because in verse 6 of chapter 5, he says, for neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. In the previous chapter, he said, but faith working through love is what the goal is. Now, he says the same thing, except he says the goal is a new creation. And then he goes on and he says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. So as many as are walking according to this rule of grace, according to this rule of no boasting in the flesh, but only boasting in Christ, peace and mercy be upon them. And of course, it's only if we are founded in the grace of God that we're going to have peace, because as long as I'm trying to earn my salvation, as long as I'm trying to work my way into God's favor, ultimately into heaven, I'm never going to be at peace, or at least not for very long, because everything's going to be contingent on my performance. But peace is the natural result of understanding and being established in God's grace. So as many as walk according to this rule of grace. And then he says in verse 17, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. So here at the end of the letter, it's almost like Paul is just saying, you know what? I'm done with this conversation. These people who are trying to trip you up are nothing. They have no standing. They've done nothing for the kingdom of God. And I'm finished with this discussion with them. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And just a quick comment before we move on. You know, this is so often how it is. Those who do the least for the kingdom oftentimes criticize those who do the most for the kingdom. So, you know, today, especially as we live in this, you know, crazy world of the internet and all of that, you know, anybody who's really serving Christ and making an impact, you can find tons and tons of criticism regarding them all over the internet. And 9 times out of 10, the people that are criticizing them are the people that have never really done much of anything. And so it's always, you know, sort of ironic. You just look at it and think, really? So what gives you the authority to even talk about this? What, you know, what exactly have you done for the advancement of the kingdom besides just sit in your bedroom and piddle around on your computer? You know, that's kind of what it amounts to. You've heard the term armchair quarterbacking. An armchair quarterback, right, is a guy who sits in his armchair watching the game, absolutely convinced the quarterback on the field's an idiot and he could play 10 times better. Only problem is he's never played a football game in his life, so he has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. And there's people like that. That's who Paul's talking about in his day. He's like, you know what? We're done with this conversation. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Until you've been beaten for the gospel, until you've suffered shipwreck for the gospel, until you've been stoned for the gospel, don't talk to me about the gospel. That's really what Paul is saying here. So, and then he finalizes with verse 18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, amen. So we today are going to spend the rest of our time focusing in on verse 15, because it's in this 15th verse that Paul sums up in one sentence the objective, the goal, the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is a new creation. This is what God intended when he sent Christ into the world. This is what God intended as the gospel would go forth. Not that people would, you know, leave their religion for another religion, not to develop a new religious system. See, some people mistakenly think, and it's very common, especially from the secular standpoint, that Jesus founded a new religion. So, you know, you've got the so-called great religions of the world. And you've got Buddhism and Hinduism and Judaism and Islam. And you've got the respective, you know, founders, supposedly, of these religions. And then, of course, you got the Christian religion, and Jesus was the founder of that. Jesus Christ did not come into the world to start a new religion. There's plenty of religion in the world when Jesus came. Jesus came into the world to make people a new creation. He came into the world to bring us into a personal relationship with God, not to start a new religion that has its particular rules, religious rituals, external conformity to a moral standard. Those are the things that you see in religion. Jesus came to bring us a whole new life. That's what he came to do. And that's what Paul is saying. So when he says that circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything, really, Paul's just saying, look, you know, this is not the point. This is not what the gospel was sent into the world for. So we could get all bound up in these kinds of ritualistic things. No, the gospel came into the world to give us a new life. This was the message of the prophets. It was the message of Jesus when he was here on earth. It was the message that the apostles took into the world. And then the gospel that went forth by the apostles, Paul being one of them, of course, this was the message. So here he says a new creation is God's objective. This isn't the only place Paul used that term, a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said this to all those that believe in Jesus. He said, if anyone is in Christ, they are an altogether new creation. Old things have passed away, everything has become new. So this is God's goal, if you will, through the gospel, to recreate us in the image of his son. You know, in the first chapter of James, it refers to us as being the first fruits. The idea behind it is that we are the first specimens of a new creation. So God is recreating the universe, and he's starting with human beings. And we are recreated as we put our faith in Christ. So that's what we want to focus on, this whole idea of being a new creation. And let me just say this up front, and I'm going to say it at the end as well, because this is where we always somehow lose it. If you today are a believer in Jesus, if you have given your life to him, you've surrendered to him as the Lord of your life, if that's you, you are present tense a new creation. You're not becoming a new creation, you are a new creation. And I say this because inevitably we lose sight of the present tense reality, and we end up thinking like, okay, a new creation. Yes, I've got to be a new creation. How do I be a new creation? I don't want anybody to leave here today saying, all right, so the message was about how do I make myself a new creation. That's not the message. The message is you are a new creation already. So the reality is, since this is what happens to a person when we receive Christ, when we're in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. So what we want to kind of look at is just what that looks like. We are a new creation. We're recreated through the power of the Spirit. And so it's not that I'm trying to become something. It's that this is who I am. Now I just need to realize it and let this work itself out. Let it work itself into me thoroughly and let it work itself out from me. So here's where we start. As a new creation, we have been given a new nature. That's where it starts. The problem is our nature, right? Where it's our human nature. It's our human nature is our sinful nature. And so if there's ever going to be any hope for anything, we have to have a new nature. And that's exactly what happens as a new creation. And that's what we get through faith in Christ. God gives us a new nature. That new nature then is going to bring us a new understanding. I have a new nature. Now I have a new understanding. Now I see things completely differently than I previously saw them. I'm looking now at the world through a different lens than I had looked at it through before. Before, I saw the world through the lens of my sinful nature. Now I see the world through the lens of the new nature and through God's word. So I have now a new understanding. I have a new way of thinking. Now, this is one of the reasons why people just don't get us once we become Christians, because they can't, it's like they can't get it. It's like, what do you mean? What do you mean God talks to you? That's ridiculous. What do you mean you're not going to have sex before marriage? What's the matter with you? Everybody does that. You're supposed to do that, right? So, you know, in our world, we become a real enigma to people when our thinking changes. But that's what happens. We get a new understanding, which then leads to a new lifestyle. If I've got a new nature with a new understanding, a new worldview, then that's going to change the way I live, right? It changes my behavior, because now I understand that my previous behavior, that some of that was wrong and it was unpleasing to God. And plus now God has put his nature in me. So since God's nature is in me, then God does not do these things or delight in these things. He doesn't take pleasure in these things. So that very new nature is going to be causing me to have a change of behavior. But not just behavior. I want to broaden it to just more of a lifestyle change. That's what happens when you become a follower of Jesus. When you become a new creation, you have a lifestyle change. And you have different desires that develop, and you have different interests, and things that you formerly were interested in and maybe even really passionate about and dedicated to, you know, those things are just not, you're just not there anymore. And things that you would have never dreamed that you would be passionate about, suddenly you're passionate about these things. You're passionate about the Bible. You want to read the Bible. You want to understand what the Bible says. Before, the Bible was like, what? Why would anybody read the Bible? But now you're like, no, I'm not going to go, won't be able to meet you tonight for the party. I'm going to stay home and read my Bible. People are like, what? Why would you do that? That's nuts. But you see, that's the lifestyle change that happens. Or instead of, you know, going and doing this one thing that we did, you know, no, I'm going to go meet with the believers. I'm going to go to church. Or I'm going to go to an event where the Christians are. And your lifestyle changes. Your interests change. This is what happens. And like I said, and like you know, and maybe some of you are even experiencing this right now, your peers, your friends, the people that you were formerly closely connected with, they just like think, man, you, something's happened. You've just gotten way, way too weird. And yet for you, it's just so obvious that this is the life that I'm supposed to live, because this is just where my interests are now. I'm no longer interested in those things. And so we have the change of lifestyle. We're given new affections is what it comes down to. The things I used to love, I don't love anymore. And things that I never imagined loving, those are the things I love. I used to love myself mainly, and I proved that by everything revolving around myself. And everything was meant to, in the end, please me or promote me or, you know, whatever it might have been. But now my affection is for Christ. And I want to glorify Him. And I want my life to make a difference in the exaltation of who He is. And as Paul would say to the Colossians, he actually exhorted them, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died with Christ, and now your life is hidden in Christ, with God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. And he goes on, he talks about, you know, fornication and deceit and those kinds of things. But it's a change in affection. So my affections are no longer for the things of the earth. It's not really the things in the world that I used to be so passionate about, that I used to be so devoted to, that I used to be so wrapped up in as part of, you know, this is who I am and this is what I have to have. That all changes. I have now new affections. My affections are for the things of heaven. We have, of course, a new purpose. As a new creation, God gives us a new purpose. He actually begins to reveal to us what the purpose of our lives is. This is life. We go through life outside of Christ without understanding our purpose. So many people, especially in our Western world where we have had the best of times and the best of things. How is it that people who are so full of material things and, you know, affluence and all of that, how is it that so many are at that place where they're just like, you know, life is meaningless? There's just no purpose in life. Well, that just is showing us that the things that people are so often striving for and thinking that they're going to find fulfillment through, those things never really can do it. But when a person comes to Christ and it becomes a new creation, there's a whole new sense of purpose. Now, life has meaning. Oh, I'm here for a reason. I'm not here. This isn't an accident that I'm here. And it's not an accident that I'm here at this time. I'm here at this time because God has a purpose for my life. And it's only when we discover that there is a purpose for our lives that we can then experience fulfillment. You see, I'm fulfilled through the realization that my life does have meaning, that there is a purpose. And as I walk in that purpose, as I live that out, that's where fulfillment comes. That's where contentment comes from. And finally, we have a new destiny. We have a new destiny, and that new destiny is to be with Christ in glory, in the fullness of his kingdom. And because that's our new destiny, we're not all hung up with or bogged down in the present life, because we know that the present life is brief, like a vapor that appears for a moment and then passes, but we are keeping our lives for the future. We have a certain future. We have a certain destiny, and that destiny is to be with Christ forever in his glorious kingdom. And we have a new destiny. And that's because we are a new creation in Christ. So, as I said, I'm going to close with a reminder. This is not something you have to work at. This is something that you are, if you're a believer in Jesus today. Now, if you're not a believer in Jesus in the sense that you've never personally received Christ, then you are not yet a new creation. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've been trying. But what you need is you need to work from the inside out. You need to open your heart and let Christ in. He'll make you a new creation. And all of that stuff will then begin to flow from your life. But this is who we are in Christ. Now, the very last words, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's how it all works. That's how it all happens. Like I said, it's the theme of the New Testament. It's the grace of God. God saving us, blessing us, keeping us all through our simple faith in Christ. We've trusted him. And now, God's grace is doing the rest. So let's not forget that ourselves, and let's rest in that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being with us, being with our spirit.
Of June, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Imperfect Disciple, Grace for People Who Can't Get Their Act Together by Jared C. Wilson. Have you ever resolved to repent from a sin only to be crushed and condemned by defeat later down the road? Or have you ever been hurt to the point that the wounds never just seem to heal, even years later? Well, one of the problems that Jared C. Wilson will help you to recognize is that unhealed wounds are not sin, and sin is not a simple wound from which you need to be healed. Jared C. Wilson shows how discipleship can be messy. This isn't a typical Christian self-help book promising to help you become a better Christian. This is a book about discipleship that puts the gospel front and center to help you sustain ongoing growth in Jesus by the same grace that saved you. In his book, The Imperfect Disciple, Jared C. Wilson will help you experience the grace of God in a practical way that will impact how you live as a Christian. Today is the day to finally learn how to live in the grace of God. Learn today about God's transforming grace. The book, The Imperfect Disciple, Grace for People Who Can't Get Their Act Together by Jared C. Wilson, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Galatians. Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.